Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Milo's Pro Rewards members, save big during Lowe's Pro Savings Days. Get your member volume discount plus an extra 5% off eligible orders with a quote of $2,000 or more. And buy more and save more with up to 20% off in-stock molding when you spend $250 or more. Members get more at Lowe's. Valid through 7/31. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Can't be combined with any contract or special pricing. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit the Pro Desk or Lowe's.com/terms for more details. Subject to change.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
It's been a little while since we talked about our old friend Corey Richens. Well, today we're going to. You're in luck. I know you guys enjoy watching me. We talk about this, guys. We're talking about it today because, well, Corey, as you know, can do no wrong. This is all a setup. This is all a conspiracy against her. She had nothing to do with this. It's all one big lie. So she's instructed her attorneys to appeal, you know, the conviction. And that's where we begin. Two documents were filed in the same case within weeks of each other in Summit County, Utah. The first came from three boys under the age of 14. They wrote letters to the court. They didn't call the defendant mom. They used her first name. One of them wrote that he wants her in prison forever. Love your son. How can children do this? Well, when you're that bad of a parent, children see, especially if you don't close their eyes to it and you don't pretend that that person is something that they're not. Sometimes the monsters in the room get found out simply by being the monsters in the room. And unfortunately, those children have to process it and deal with it. But they see it for what it is. One of them wrote that he wants her in prison forever. Another wrote that what she did was sick, that it had no reason to happen. The third addressed her directly and told her she only cared about herself and her stupid boyfriends. He said he wouldn't feel safe if she were ever released. Good insight on those kids. Without a doubt, those letters were delivered by counselors because the children themselves were not present. They asked a judge to keep them safe. The second document came from the woman whose boys are afraid of her. It wasn't addressed to her children or the court. It was a text message to an admirer filed in the prosecution's sentencing memorandum. The last line read, "They picked the wrong one. They haven't seen anything yet." That's where we begin, because 7 weeks after that text, Corey Richens' attorney filed a 14-page motion for a new trial, the beginning of, "They haven't seen anything yet." At least the Corey Richens version is beginning. And I want to walk through every piece of it, not because the motion has legal merit that should really worry anyone, because it's the single clearest piece of evidence of who Corey Richens actually is. And because the pattern it belongs to tells you everything the jury already figured out in 3 hours of deliberation. And her young children also know. Before we get to the legal arguments, you have to see the pattern, because the motion doesn't make sense as a standalone legal filing. It only makes sense as the latest entry in a sequence that started the week Eric Richens died. So if you're new to this case, we're going to give you a little recap. We're not going to go into every single detail because there's so much. But in case you need a little context here, here it is. And I do welcome your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Those links are in the description. Eric Richens was found dead in his bed on March 4th of 2022. He had 5 times a lethal dose of fentanyl in his system. The only people in the house that night were Corey, Eric, and their 3 young sons. She was not arrested at that moment. She had more than a year of freedom before law enforcement charged her. And what did she do with that year? Did she mourn? Try to heal? No, she hired a ghostwriter. And then she published a children's book about coping with the loss of a spouse. A lot of look at me energy going on over there. If I do this real covertly, a little covert narcissism at play, more like sociopathic. But if I do it and I'll tell everybody we're doing it to help the children heal, I'll be looked at as the hero. And no one will suspect a thing. Oh, what a tangled web you weave. So she published the children's book. She promoted it. She went on podcasts, presented herself as a grieving widow, raising 3 boys alone. She monetized the death she allegedly engineered and cast herself as the hero of a tragedy she authored. Anybody out there knows borderline sociopaths, narcissists? You're like, oh, I know how these people work. You're right. You do. And if you don't, consider yourself freaking lucky. Learn from our experiences, okay? Trust me. She was arrested on May 23rd. She went to trial in February 26th, and in March of 26th, a jury convicted her on every single count. Aggravated murder, attempted murder, 2 counts of insurance fraud, forgery. They deliberated for roughly 3 hours. And what did she do after the verdict? She picked up her phone and messaged her admirer. Not her children, not her lawyers. A man. She told him she was going to expose the county, the prosecution, the judge, and Eric's family. She promised him it was just the beginning. How's jail treating you, Corey? Is it going good? Glad you could find us and tune in. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any coverage that we have of your sorry ass. She was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole on May 13th, 26. That date was Eric's 44th birthday. The judge noted she'd been convicted not just of murder, but of attempted murder before doubling down, preparing to try again and ultimately completing the act for monetary gain. At the time of sentencing, only 72 inmates in Utah were serving that sentence. And what did she do? Well, she stood up in that courtroom. She gave a 45-minute speech about herself, while being completely unaware of it's about herself. Then, 7 weeks later, she filed the motion calling the judge biased. Children's book, comeback text, new trial motion. 3 events spread across 4 years, and every single one runs through the same operating system. Every time the world tells Corey Richens what she is, she writes a new story where she's something else. Ta-da! Demotion isn't a legal argument. It's the next chapter in a book she's been writing since the night she mixed that cocktail. So let's open the chapter. The 14-page motion makes 3 claims. First, it says Judge Richard Marzik showed bias in favor of the prosecution throughout the trial. If you watch the trial, he's one of the most balanced judges I've ever seen. Holy shit, the amount of patience he had with that. Because she's a mother effing C-U-N-T. The defense says he repeatedly interrupted their attorneys and corrected them in front of the jury in ways that suggested they were mishandling witnesses. On at least one occasion, the motion claims Marzik made it clear he did not believe a defense witness. The motion says she was not facing one adversary, but two, that the judge at times acted as a second adversary working against the defense. Now, if you know anything about narcissists and borderlines and all that shit, they always think everyone's against them. It's all the plot. It's all of this. It's called a cognitive distortion. They believe it. The rest of the world sees it for what it is. Really, in some aspects, you look at these folks and feel kind of bad. You're like, but you just keep making horrible decisions and hurting everyone around you, so I have to not give a shit anymore. Second, the motion says prosecutors violated the court's own pretrial guardrails by going too deep into Corey's financial misdeeds, bounced checks, false bank statements, misleading communications with mortgage lenders, sloppy accounting. The defense says the jury heard hours of testimony across multiple trial days about financial crimes that were supposed to be off limits. They argue that volume of financial evidence unfairly prejudiced the jury against her. Third, cumulative error, the pile-up argument. Even if no single mistake is enough on its own, the combined weight of all of them denied her a fair proceeding. Now, Judge Marzik responded the same day by halting all further action on the case until the associate presiding judge decides whether he should be disqualified from the new trial motion. That's standard procedure. It's not an admission of anything. Now, the financial crimes evidence, the defense is asking the court to believe that testimony about Corey Richardson's financial fraud was a sideshow that unfairly contaminated the murder case. That the jury heard too much about her lies to lenders and her fake bank statements and her bounced checks. That hearing all that made them more likely to convict her of murder. She's a horrible person over here, but why would she be one over there? It's all tied together as she's actively defrauding everyone, including her husband. The problem with that argument is that the financial fraud is the reason Eric Richards is dead. Corey used Eric's power of attorney to take out $250,000 in home equity lines of credit on his premarital home, the house he owned before he ever met her, without telling him. I'm sure she's telling herself, I'm entitled to this. I should have this. Yeah. Well, apparently you shouldn't. She funneled that money into her own LLC. In the 5 months before Eric died, her realty company brought in $170,000 in revenue against more than $250,000 a month in debt payments. The day after Eric was found dead, her company owed hard money lenders nearly $5 million. Eric's estate was worth approximately $5 million. He had life insurance policies. Corey believed she was the beneficiary. She was wrong. Eric had changed the documents after he discovered what she was doing to him financially. He found out. He tried to protect his children, even from inside the marriage, and stayed in it to protect his children physically. It wasn't enough. The jury also found her guilty of attempted murder. Prosecutors presented evidence that she allegedly laced Eric's food on Valentine's Day, 2022, like one loving wife does, 1 month before the fatal cocktail. It didn't work the first time, so according to the prosecution's case, she tried again 3 weeks later with a Moscow Mule, five times a lethal dose. It's not a miscalculation, that's a margin of certainty. The defense wants the court to evaluate the murder without knowing why it happened. That's not a fair trial argument. That is a request to hide the motive for the next 12 people who have to decide what she did if it were to ever get there. Which brings us to the Murdaugh comparison. Corey's attorneys cite South Carolina Supreme Court's unanimous reversal of Alec Murdaugh's double murder conviction issued on May 13th, 2026. They argue that Richens was denied a fair trial in the same way as Murdaugh was, that excessive financial crimes evidence unfairly prejudiced the jury. On the surface, the comparison sounds like it could land until you read the actual ruling. The Murdaugh reversal stood on two pillars. Pillar one was jury tampering by a court clerk officer. Colleton County Clerk of Court Becky Hill The elected official responsible for managing the trial and overseeing the jury made a series of improper comments to jurors. She told them to watch Murdaugh's body language. She made statements designed to push them towards conviction. The South Carolina Supreme Court called her conduct breathtaking and disgraceful and unprecedented in South Carolina. That wasn't a judge being impatient. That was a government official trusted by the jury actively sabotaging the defense from inside the proceedings. That was not happening in the Corey Richens case. And that was the whole reason for the Alec Murdaugh ruling. Pillar two was financial evidence volume. Not the existence of it, the volume. The state spent 12 and a half hours of testimony over 10 trial days presenting Murdaugh's financial crimes. The court said the prosecution could have established motive in a fraction of that time. The volume, combined with Hill's misconduct, created their unfair prejudice. So, no, it's not exactly the same sort of thing. But, you know, big credit to your attorneys that work at the crematorium for coming up with that one. Slow day on bodies? What should we do? Alec Murdaugh sounds familiar. Oh, that's the same thing, isn't it? Oh, we got another body? Hang on, I'll get back to writing this in a moment. You think I'm joking? Her attorneys work out of a crematorium. Not a joke. Holy shit, I know. Corey Richens has zero jury tampering allegations. None. No rogue court officer, no juror affidavits, no unprecedented misconduct by anyone other than the defendant. Her entire motion rides on Pillar 2 alone. And even Pillar 2 in the Murdaugh ruling only carried the weight it did because it sat next to Pillar 1. The South Carolina Supreme Court explicitly said some evidence of financial crimes was properly admitted. It was volume. 12 and a half hours, stacked on top of a clerk who was whispering in jurors' ears that crossed the line. Different state, different legal standard, different facts entirely. Corey Richens' lawyers are citing the headline. The ruling does not say what they need it to say. Now, I want to talk about what Corey Richens did in that courtroom, because if you're going to file a motion claiming the judge denied you a fair trial, the court gets to look at what happened during the trial. And what happened at her sentencing on May 13th, 2026 is the clearest window into who this woman actually is. Three counselors stood up and read statements written by Corey and Eric's three sons. The boys chose how their words would be presented. One of the counselors told the court, the boys want the court and the world to hear their side. The boys didn't call her mom. They used her first name. One of the boys wrote that after Eric died, Corey would send the children to the basement while she was with the neighbor. He wrote that he felt scared because he thought something really bad was happening again. He wrote that everything she did made him uncomfortable. He wrote, when someone talks about Corey, it makes me feel hateful and ashamed. Another one addressed her directly. You took away my dad for no reason other than greed, and you only cared about yourself and your stupid boyfriends. He told the court he would not feel safe if she were out of prison. Another one of them was 9 years old when his father was killed. He's now 13. Prosecutors told the court he wears his father's clothing to school. He wrote, I think Corey should get a life sentence because what she did is very sick, because it had no reason to happen, and it impacted a bunch of people, including me. While those words were spoken out loud, while counselors read the handwriting of three children under 14, cameras captured Corey Richens smirking, rolling her eyes, making faces like a good borderline does, mouthing the words, what, to her attorney. In her very, oh my gosh, we got to really play this up. Remember the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial? The over exaggeration of emotions and such that happened with Amber Heard, the same sort of shit happens here. Why? Well, there's two things that are very likely in common, in my opinion. Borderline. Personality disorder. My opinion. I can't confirm it. I can't diagnose anybody. But if you look at the signs, if you've ever survived one of these shit shows, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And these fuckers are triggering. whispering through the statements. What? She showed visible emotion exactly once during the entire hearing, not during their children's pain portion, during the defense arguments, the part that was about her. Then she stood up. She spoke for 45 minutes. She told her sons to be like your dad. You know, playing the victim, trying to act like the heroine in the case. The man she was convicted of killing, be like him. She said, our love never failed. About the man she allegedly poisoned twice, she told him, I didn't abandon you. Technically, she was arrested, not absent. She gave them marriage advice then. She admitted to infidelity and then accused Eric of the same. She told him, I'm coming home, not today, not this year, but we're going to make this right. Our justice system will get this right, although this courtroom can't seem to. After they begged the court to never let her out. I'm coming home, kids. Reading the room, reading your victim, if you will, is not a forte of people with this personality type. It just doesn't exist. It's what do I feel? What do I want to get across? And how am I going to make everybody feel the same way? I don't give a shit how you feel. I'm just going to do me. That's how it works. And they steamroll everything, even in front of millions of people in a courtroom, everyone watching. There's no foresight of like, this might get analyzed. People might look at what I'm saying more than just for these few seconds and go, what the hell was that? It doesn't exist in their minds. That's the only way to explain them. Other than that, I mean, if you want to go to another route, you're like, oh, they're demonic. Well, I've thought of that before, too, but I like to play more in the world of science and not woo-woo. And, I know, despite hosting a ghost show. Not one sentence acknowledging what she did to Eric. Not one sentence about the three small boys who were in that house the night their father died with five times a lethal dose of fentanyl in his body. Just a performance. Grief book energy applied to a sentencing hearing in front of cameras for an audience of one, herself. And here's the full text of what she said to that admirer after the guilty verdict filed. In prosecution sentencing memorandum, every word of this is from the court order. Quote, I will, all caps, expose this county, the prosecution, the judge, the Richards, the investigation, all of it, so they can lock me away for now. That's fine. It's going to come back on them. It will come to an end, not this year or next, but I'm going away. I won't be silent. I'm going to expose them all for what they have done to me. My kids, my family, the injustice, they picked the wrong one. They think sentencing is the end. Closure. It's just the beginning. They haven't seen anything yet. Ah! What they have done to me, my kids, my family. She, of course, listed herself first. Her children second. And the family she's promising to expose. The Richens. That's Eric's family. The people raising her sons because she killed their father. She can expose them. Threatening to go after the people who stepped in to protect her children after she orphaned them. The new trial motion was filed 5 weeks after that text. It's not a legal strategy. It's the execution of a threat she made to a man she was flirting with while her own children were writing letters asking to be kept safe from her. And even if every argument in that motion somehow landed, even if a new judge threw out the conviction and ordered a second trial, it would not end there. 26 additional felony charges are sitting in a separate case file with a name on them. 5 counts of mortgage fraud, 7 counts of money laundering, 5 counts of forgery, 7 counts of issuing bad checks, communications fraud, and a pattern of unlawful activity charge. No trial date has been set on any of those yet, but it's coming. There's another trial coming. Corey, you might want to focus over there next. I mean, or just admit guilt. But you're not going to do that. You're incapable of it. So there's another Corey trial coming. It's just going to add more time on top of what already exists. Her lawyers might want to think about the irony of their own argument. Their entire motion rests on the claim that financial crimes evidence was unfairly prejudicial. They have now guaranteed that every prospective juror in a hypothetical retrial will associate Corey Richens with financial fraud because they put it in the headline of their own filing. And beyond the legal math, there's a simpler question. At 8:29 a.m. on the morning Eric Richens was found dead in his bed, Corey's phone accessed three GIF images. One showed someone wiping tears with cash. Another was captioned, "Idiots, idiots everywhere." The third was a clip of Donald Trump saying, "I'm really rich." Three images all accessed within the same minute. Not a woman processing grief. That's a woman taking a victory lap over a body that was still warm. And the jury saw it. The jury deliberated three whole hours. The motion says they saw too much. The GIF suggests they saw exactly enough. Eric Richens was 39 years old. Coached his son's teams. His father, Eugene, told the court that Eric would never get to cheer from the sidelines as his boys grew up. He called his son a light to his sons. And the boys he coached and their entire community, a light that was taken away too soon. Eric's sister Katie told the court that Eric had consulted a divorce attorney but stayed in the marriage because he was afraid he wouldn't get sole custody. He told her he would live his life through hell every single day of his life until his youngest was 18 because he believed Corey was the most evil person he had ever met and he had to protect his kids. He came to that realization while in the marriage. It's a scary fucking realization to make. And there's people out there making it right now and having to weigh, do I try to get a divorce? Will the court actually understand and hear if they haven't done anything documentably horrible or demonstrous yet? And the scary reality of that is no, they won't. So as a parent, you have to sit there and decide, am I going to put myself at risk? And look, I'm not saying you should do this. But as a parent, you have to sit there and make the weighing judgment of, should I continue to put myself at risk to be a barrier or a bumper for my child that I have with this monster that, in the event something happens, I'm at least there to be in the way to stop whatever that person could do. Now, that person could do something whether you're there or not, regardless. But as a parent, you're weighing it going, at least I'm the bumper. It's terrifying. I've lived it. I've done it. Came out of it alive. So did my daughter. And when I see cases like this, I see it for what it is. For the monster that Corey Richens is. He stayed to protect his sons. He couldn't have known that was the threat. Or what she would actually do. He couldn't have known that the threat was never actually the custody fight. It was the cocktail. Eric changed his life insurance beneficiary when he discovered the financial fraud, even inside the marriage, even knowing what she was. He was still trying to make sure his boys were covered because he was a good parent. He cared about them. He couldn't have known what that coverage would need to look like. His sister Amy said what the sentencing date meant. Birthdays are supposed to be proof of life, a day to celebrate another year of growth. Instead, today is a cruel reminder of another year Eric will never see and a reminder of the fatherhood that was stolen from his three sons. Corey Richens can file every motion she wants. She can compare herself to Alec Murdaugh. She can promise admirers she's coming back. She can write another book, construct another narrative, perform another version of herself for whatever audience she finds next. She's been doing it since the night Eric died. She's been doing it her whole life. She's a soulless imp of a human being. The children's book, the comeback text, the 14-page motion, same woman. Same operating system. Every crisis produces a new performance. Where she's the one who was wronged and everyone else is a prop. Three boys in Utah already said everything that needs to be said about that. They didn't call her mom when they said it. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in and give me your feedback. We'll continue our conversation right there. Press subscribe. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Like, I need a drink. No, I'm not. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm gonna be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.